Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
I have a backup for Paul. Yes. He's broken down in playoffs before.
But I
get that on campaign.
I just also, I'm just not thrilled with
you
the whole
ties,
idea.
And it's perfectly fine.
Well, maybe if
there's plenty, I'd say more than half of the fan base is with you on wanting to bring him back, feeling like he's so critical to this team. Well, I'm just not there on, I'm there if you do it at the right number all day long.
Yeah.
Just not going to overspend.
You brought up campaign. His deal, it's 19 mil.
Over how many years?
Over how many years?
Three-year deal.
Yeah.
It includes 14 mil guaranteed and, you know.
Yeah, so that's Tyus makes about that, right?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Annual salary of six. That's a bargain for him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you could get that, there's no reason.
It's not like, I love Tyus, and I have appreciated how good he has been, but it's more of can I find a better option rather than invest in a rookie point guard with a first round pick? Because it's the same thing, right? It's like I'm spending valuable draft capital on a rookie point guard when I have Ja Morant, right?
Right.
So like, is there another area that I could use that draft capital to improve on something else?
I mean, how many years you hoping to sign Tyus for? Because, again, you got bigger contracts, more important contracts coming up, like Bane.
Would I give him a three-year deal at eight per? For sure. You know?
Yeah, he's got to take that.
And
you got to hope that somebody like the Knicks don't come and offer him 12 or 13. Because if it's that low and you're hoping to get him on it, why would he not go take the $4 million more, the $5 million more?
Would you bring Tyus back on a three-year, $27 million deal?
Sure. If he'll take nine, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
fine.
Yeah, because I just, you know, look, it's not going to,
I'm not fighting against bringing him back. It's right. It's about getting him back at your number. It's not about overpaying for Tyus Jones.
Would you rather have a rookie point guard
Ja Morant
or a free agent veteran guard on a 5-6 million
dollar? I'd rather have the rookie point guard in the first round. Uh-huh. If I got it and I got on a rookie deal, again, how much is it going to matter? If Ja Morant going to miss another quarter of the season next year, if I got an aging point guard who's my leader like Chris Paul, then I'm willing to invest more in that backup guy. I'd rather invest my money elsewhere.
It's fair.
Yeah. It's just one of many decisions that the Grizzlies will have to make, and we'll see how they feel. We'll see how, you know.
They love him. That's the thing about it,
the
right?
The cool thing is we're not nervous, no disrespect to Chris Wallace, that this front office is sort of incompetent like they were a few years ago. I'm just being honest with
y'all. Don't y'all feel like the bigger decision is what you do with Dylan Brooks? That just done, and so that's why we're not talking. You're going to let that contract expire or trade him, and that's why it's not
100%.
So much. Because we've
absolutely
come to the conclusion it's not a decision anymore.
I think that's
the news here is that people have –
Dylan, he's done.
There's no way Dylan Brooks
think
is finishing out his contract with the Grizzlies.
It's what we think the front office thinks.
Dylan Brooks is getting traded.
How much of the perception, their minds, how much has it been changed or affected by what we've seen this year from him? That's more in terms of what you do there and going forward, that's going to have more to do about whether we win a championship or not. Is that a piece that you have to replace with something better to win a title? That's going to matter more than Tyus.
We talked about this, you know, months ago. We talked about this 2-3 months ago with Dylan Brooks.
Zaire and Bane are sort of making him even more expendable.
Well, and again, like, he's just been so bad offensively in these playoffs, you know? Like, he's just been bad. And they won game two without him. And I think this is stuff like you're starting to sort of build a case, right? You're building a case. And Dylan was, he only played 3 minutes, but he was awful in those 3 minutes often. Like, he came out, he was taking bad shots, he was missing. Like, again, I'm not. I like Dylan. I think he is a valuable piece of this particular team, but he's an expiring contract. Are they really going to give him an extension? I mean, I highly doubt that. I just don't see it.
You were seeing that conversation in the ether when he got booted out. And I know it's uncomfortable to talk about because, like, we got the culture thing going on. But it's like there is a segment of folks on there going, man, we're probably better off with him out of three. I mean, that is a real conversation.
We had this conversation on the show in the regular season when he was coming back. When he was coming back from the injury, we talked about this. And people got mad at us. You know,
yeah,
like,
they got
oh,
mad.
How dare
people
you talk
get mad
about,
about it.
How like, dare you talk about Dylan Brooks?
No, it's Jeff.
Well, and it's like the Warriors had, you know, Clay and Durant, and they went.
So why can't the Grizzlies do it?
Right. But and the reason is because Dylan Brooks is not on that par. Well,
that's the question: is it the right move for the Grizzlies?
Right. Just
with him,
like he is like a mid-level guy offensively, you know, and he's an elite defender, but he does not give you very much sometimes on the offensive end, and at times, as we saw in Game One, like it takes him 15, 16 shots to realize like it ain't my night. You know, and that's like, you know, is that what she wanted going the luxury tax?
Let me tell you what, more so than anything we see or feel about Dylan Brooks or even that front office, it's going to be Ja.
Mm-hmm.
Does Ja think Dylan Brooks is a part of this?
Right.
Because when you get a dude like this, mm-hmm. you know, you get out of his way and you say, what do you need?
What do you think?
And then go take us there. So if Ja still believes in Dylan.
That's better. Fair.
If Ja has turned that page,
right.
that's mm-hmm. going to say more than anything else.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about
it. I do think Lionel was on to something yesterday when he said, when you put a 6'9 guy like Zaire Williams and they're athletic and bouncy, you can make up a lot of room as opposed to a 6'6 dude like Dylan Brooks if you get him defending at a little higher level. I mean, Zaire hasn't been I know he's a little slow sometimes closing out, but 6'9 certainly helps when you're bouncy like that and you're young and athletic.
That's what they're hoping. Like, again, I'm not going to go crazy on Zaire Williams. He hit some big shots. Like, I've seen glimpses. I'm not going to crown him, nor am I going to say that was a busted pick. I mean, I think it's still so early with him, and he's so young. I like the promise, though, that he has shown being able to step in and hit those big-time shots.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's there. It is there. Now, whether that promise turns into production,
still to be determined.
You know, yes, like we that like I just don't think there's any rush, right? There's no rush to say great pick, bad pick. Like, let's just let this process kind of play out a little bit before we make those decisions. But yes, he's going to have an opportunity tomorrow, you know, without Dylan Brooks to do that again.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't start him again. You
start stacking those performances up. You know, it's starting to feel a little bit more real. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come in the rundown. Stick around, Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis celebrates a legacy of sports in the Mid-South as flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk on the Odyssey app. Powered by DuckDuckGo, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow night. We have to wait till 7:30 Central Time. Of course, you don't have to wait. You can wait till 7. You can listen to the pregame right here with Jessica Benson on 92.9 FM ESPN. Game 3 pregame. And then NBA Traveler, the great Eric Hasseltine, will have the call here. That is an ABC game and tip prime time on a Saturday night. How many think you'd be watching, John?
I might assume, 15,000 trillion. I think all of India will be watching. I think it's going to,
I don't know if India's tuned in.
I think they're going to be tuned in, man. No, what did the last one do? 7.7?
Something big.
So, it got to be bigger than that, right?
Yeah. No, it's in prime time, and you figure that a lot of the world, because I think the other game that afternoon is a 12 o'clock or a 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've got some time to get ready for the thing. There'll be nothing else on Saturday night. That said, Grizzlies 7-point underdogs. And John and I, we've been talking first hour, Brad as well. We feel good. Probably the best I've ever felt as a 7-point underdog, be real honest with you. And maybe it's not necessarily just game three, but it's the idea that the Grizzlies can go out there and steal one. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the adjustments because that's where these series are won, right? It's about how you adjust to what you see. And for Golden State right now, the biggest adjustment they've got to make, how in the world do you guard Ja Morant? What are we going to see? You're going to see some junk defenses. I heard Chris Harrington this morning say something that sounded very simple, but didn't talk about how tough it might be to do, which was, well, just do what Minnesota did, which is blitz Ja. Get the ball out of his hands. Well, who are they going to do it with, John? Because Gary Payton II is gone now. You don't have Andre Iguodala, who's not ready, won't be ready to go for another week. You're going to throw out Juan Toscano-Anderson? You're going to put more of that responsibility on Steph Curry or Klay Thompson? Well, that could take away with what they're trying to do on the other end, which is rebound from some subpar shooting performances. So, quite frankly, they don't really have any options, and the ones that they got could take away from some other things they're trying to do. Whereas with Memphis, clearly, the biggest thing you've got to get corrected right now is the second and third chances that you have given Golden State throughout these first two games of this series. And the way that you can do that, we're talking about having guys and adjustments and options available, is having Steven Adams back in. Hopefully, we don't know this yet, Taylor Jenkins said, hasn't committed to anything, but hopefully Steven Adams will not just be ready to play, but possibly to start in game three for Memphis. You figure you're going to see more Zaire Williams as well in the starting lineup. With Dylan Brooks suspended for Game 3, something else we also knew was coming and knew it yesterday once that announcement was made. So could see the changes, expecting the changes almost. Zaire in the starting lineup, perhaps Steven Adams. And again, like we said first hour, like I said with Jeff, you just feel good about where the Grizzlies are right now. And again, getting reinforcements in the form of Steven Adams. I like Grizz plus 7. I'll be honest with you. I ain't picking them to win Game 3 because I still think like John said, this will be Golden State's best shot. But I like Grizz plus 7.
I like it too. 7.5, I saw some books.
Is it 7.5 now?
Yeah, FanDuel, I checked this morning.
Because Dylan's out, going up.
I think that number is even they're begging you to take points on this thing. It's wild.
Or, John, is that just money coming in on Golden State that it's going to be that Game 3 storm you've been predicting?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
What's pushing that up? Because the Dylan thing, it changed yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Reason for it
was 7 now.
It was 6.5 even before the stuff with Dylan was announced. I mean, just in terms of the quote-unquote line functionality, right?
Yes.
Yeah, help us.
It is showing significant Warrior strength, right? I mean, because that number is crazy inflated. I mean, because let's just do some math here, right? Let's just do some common math, right? So in Memphis, Golden State was game one minus 2.5. They end up winning game one by 1. So game two, that number comes down a 0.5 to minus 2. Some people believe the Grizzlies should have been favored. They were not. Made sense. Grizzlies won the game outright. Okay, so now Grizzlies lose game 1-1, win game 2 outright as underdogs, as 2-point underdogs. So now we're going to San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the line is 7? And the line is the line jumps basically, 5 points. It's only supposed to go 3.5 on the home flip, right?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that Dylan Brooks being absent, he didn't play really for any of game 2, 3 minutes. He did not score a single point and gave the friggin' Warriors a bucket in the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that that's worth 5 points? What they're saying is they're really what they're trying to do is they're trying to bait Grizz money. You know, they're trying to get some Grizz money.
Is that what's happening?
Yes, they're trying to get some Grizz money at that
balance
number.
Balance it out a little bit here.
Just me that just said I like Grizz plus seven.
They're trying to get my suckers. Yeah, now they might do it. I mean,
Come on. Look at the way this team matches up with them.
Like, this series has been crazy competitive.
Put Steven Adams back in, all of a sudden we're looking at a blowout?
No, to
and
be honest.
Plus, you can get him right back out of there.
Yeah, like, this is probably going to end up being a stay away for me because I don't like the Grizzlies in this game, but I cannot lay seven. You know, I just can't lay seven in this series. I don't think is any team going to win by seven? I mean, that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
and that's why I like plus seven.
Yeah. So it feels like if there is going to be a game that's decided by double digits, it's this one because, again, Golden State coming back, going to be pissed off, mad that Gary Payton got injured. No Dylan Brooks. But that being said, like, would it shock me if this is a two possession game, you know, with a minute left,
mm-hmm.
and then you're playing the free throw game?
I think it's a bonus that the Grizzlies got these extra days. This is weird compared to some of these playoff series we've watched because you get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all of Saturday, and you know they got three people on Bane, and they're injecting him and rubbing it and fixing it and putting. I mean, that's the part I think that if we get Bane right, we'll win this game.
Well, and Taylor Jenkins said, he's fine. He looks fine. I can't predict a win. I hope I'm wrong. I feel like this is. I've always circled game four. Game four is the game that I would really. I mean, obviously you try to win every time you're out there, uh-huh. but realistically, game four feels like the one coming back to Memphis, and that one could even be more important because now you're talking about you've snatched back the momentum and you can put two in a row together, mm-hmm. right? You can put two in a row together with that one being at home, game five, and then you're going back to San Francisco in a closeout situation. So yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing number. It is a very intriguing number.
Didn't you think Golden State would storm them last year in the play-in?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think I did.
Just with the atmosphere and everything.
I think I did.
Yeah, you thought that was over. Yeah,
I think I did probably pick the Warriors in that one. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be that.
Now, in this case, Klay's back, right? I mean, Klay's back. He's been awful. He's due.
That man's averaging 13.5 this series. He's been pedestrian.
Yeah.
This series. Now, last series, it was 22 on 50% shooting.
Yes.
So he's looked good recently. But the Grizzlies have done a good job on him.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's look at what Klay did.
He's at like 13.5.
It's easy to look at what Klay has done in this series against the Grizzlies.
And write him off. There's been a ton of that this week. He was fantastic against Denver. Shot over 50%, I want to say.
If I remember correctly, that dude was like taking over at the end of the regular season. Look at this. March 25th against the Hawks, 37. March 27th against the Wizards, 25.
Mm-hmm.
The April 2nd against the Jazz, 36. April 7th against the Lakers, 33. April 10th against the Pelicans, 41. Like, Klay is not this, you know,
what we've
useless
seen in these
piece
two
of
games.
Garbage that he's kind of looked like in the first two games.
It's true.
Like, he is going to have a day and a game where he reminds the world that he is still one of the best shooters in the NBA. I personally believe it's this one. And if it's not this one, then I'm going to start to wonder, can he do that against these Grizzlies? Because that'll now be three games in a row where he, again, if he doesn't have this on game three, three games in a row where he has not looked useful. So I'm just expecting that tsunami to come in game three. And then you absorb it, you take it, you got hit in the mouth, all right, take the L. Game four, you come out.
Yeah, I mean, now it's
time to take it back.
He's literally shooting 29% this series. That's not going to continue.
No.
It has to get better.
So that's why, I think that number is sort of begging Grizz action, you know? Will you give it to him?
I don't know. You may have talked me out of it.
It's just that line. It smells.
Again, I haven't done anything
It smells a certain type of way. You know what I'm saying? Like, because again.
Like what? Pepe Le Pew?
Well, the sort of square, like, analysis of that is, well, why is the line so inflated? Because the series has been too competitive for this mm-hmm. to be a 7-point spread, you know? And I guarantee you, like, they're probably not going to get a ton of liability on Warriors minus 7. They'll get some because it's Golden State, you know? It's like betting Tom Brady with the Buccaneers. Like, everybody going to bet Tom Brady on the Buccaneers. But, you know, I feel like there's something fishy there, you know, that I'm trying to sniff out. I haven't made it. Like I said, I'm probably going to stay away from it either way.
I tell you, Golden State, they're scared. That's what's changed this
They're
series,
scared,
too.
They're
scared, eh? Come into this thing. You didn't come into it scared. But now that – have you – the way Steve Kerr has responded to some of this stuff, you can tell how seriously they are taking – the way Klay Thompson celebrated after Ja Morant missed that layup, that's not a team that's looking ahead saying, man, we're going to give Phoenix everything, you know, that they want and we're going to go win a championship now with our aging stars. That's a team that knows it's in trouble right here.
Yep.
Especially, again, with nobody to stop Ja. So go show them why they feel that way. Go take it from them.
Yeah.
Ain't no reason the game three has to start off in some storm. You know, and the biggest reason why it doesn't have to be is because you got a guy by the name of Ja Morant, man.
That's
true. He gets up for Golden State and for Steph. And you already told him in game one, we're going to have some fun. You already got him fired up. You gave him what he needed. You gave him the gasoline.
Yep.
So let's go play it. And now you got Steven Adams back in there to push some people around.
The other thing is if they have Adams in there, they seemingly, the way that Jaren's playing, they haven't had a terrific answer for Jaren when he's hitting either.
They have no answer for Jaren.
None.
But he's got to stay on the floor.
Yeah, he can't foul.
I was a little surprised that Ryan McDonough was dismissive almost completely. He said he thinks the Warriors series will be worse for Steven Adams' playability. I found that very interesting because I know they do play fast. I know they do play small, but this is not like – this ain't like you got a bunch of Muggsy Bogues out there, bro. Like, these are 33, 34-year-old men. They're right. Not – they don't have the step they once did. And I think that's kind of been apparent in the first two games. You know, I mean, we're, again, a layup away from the Grizzlies being up 2-0 in this series.
Again, it's Draymond in many of these instances that'll be the role guy on some of these screens. You know, when that's Karl-Anthony Towns, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Anthony Edwards out there. Okay, you still got a shooter out there. But Draymond, offensively, you don't have to worry. In fact, in a lot of cases, you don't want him shooting the ball. So in terms of how you defend it, just the chances of success are higher. I'm not telling you Golden State can't put him in some spots where he's going to look slow. They absolutely can. But your chances, I think, are higher more so than they were against Minnesota, where clearly that's two good players you're doing it with. They were cutting him up.
Yep.
With Draymond, he's not a real threat offensively.
No. You know?
Or Looney or anybody. I mean, or any big they put in that situation.
He can hit you on the back.
Or any small.
You know, that's his offensive production usually. Is he just going to, like, he'll set the screen and then he'll find you on the back cut.
Right.
You know.
But how much are you hammering them on the other end on the glass?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the question.
There's
a
trade-off.
It could be a nice trade-off that you're willing to accept
because
you're
like
pounding them
it.
And getting back to being the league's best rebounding team.
Because, look, I mean, here's the thing. If Steven Adams is getting carved up, then I'm going to take him out.
You pull him out.
You know.
But you checked that option and you saw it.
But you know, because that's direct translation of points. Offensive, you know, getting a defensive rebound does not necessarily equal points.
Memphis
led
the NBA in offensive rebounding, total rebounds, and second chance points in the regular season. A big part of that was Steven Adams. You beat Golden State? What did you take the season series 3-1? Mm-hmm. You pointed out the game. Not he didn't dominate, but he was certainly effective in terms of his role.
Well, five, six, seven, eight rebounds that Jaren probably not going to get, right? And that's just what we're talking about. And in a series that's been as competitive as this one, it could be the difference.
And hopefully it's just it keeps you from avoiding a couple of tap outs from Wiggins that lead to a couple of extra threes that could be the difference in the game.
Yep.
So, again, I'm hopeful that he can be a difference maker. But there's no promise he is. And the good thing for the Grizzlies is that you've played a ton without him, and so you can find other ways.
Yep, absolutely. Anyway, you can catch that right here on 92.9 FM ESPN on Saturday.
Next story.
Tiger basketball made it official today with the announcement of AAC Player of the Year, Kendrick Davis. Kendrick Davis, of course, former SMU point guard. Like we said, 2022 AAC Player of the Year. Averaged 20 points a game basically last season for the Mustangs. That's what Penny Hardaway had to say. I cannot explain what it means to add Kendrick to the great history of Memphis Tiger basketball. I feel Kendrick is the best point guard in the country. His work ethic is unbelievable, and he is a great leader. He is the ultimate competitor, and his basketball IQ simply cannot be taught. I believe the city of Memphis and Tiger Nation will be ecstatic that Kendrick will be wearing the Memphis logo next season in our quest for a national championship. Bro, that is like, wow. That is like.
I mean, what'd you think? What'd you think?
I'm just saying, though, that is like.
He's already told you he compared him to Tyreek and D. Rose, didn't he?
When he
in the recruiting pitch to him.
Let's compare that to what he said about Elijah McCadden.
Don't do that.
I know he was complimentary.
Really, like, don't do that. Why are you comparing him to Elijah McCadden was sixth man for Georgia Southern? Best point guard that was available, man.
Yeah.
come on, you don't need to do this.
No, we got in the Elijah McCadden one, we got a reference to the community in the classroom. Uh-huh. So that gives you pretty much everything you need to know about that one. We didn't get the community in the classroom at references to Kendra Davis.
Kendra ain't gonna say Elijah the greatest ever. Kendra Davis greatest ever.
He did.
My goodness.
He did say
what
Kendrick
a contrast.
Davis. He said Kendrick Davis is the greatest ever. He might be.
It's the greatest ever point guard he's had.
I think really it's just like Penny has just been so conditioned, right, to mediocre point guard play that the second he gets a good one, it's just like this guy is basically Steve Nash. Like,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah, I mean.
I need Penny to say, he is better than I was. I need him to come in and say, this young man is in fact one of the greatest point guards. He is the greatest point guard that has ever put on a Memphis basketball uniform. That's all we were missing there.
I mean, just imagine that you're Jason Smith and all you've been eating all your life is well-done Applebee's steaks. All right, they get it done, right? You survive. You live it, telling yourself this is the good life. All right, but then you get over to Fleming's and you get one of them John's medium well for me. I know raw for you.
Heard that.
But that's a different kind
you're
of eating.
You're still doing medium well?
And that Fleming steak, that's Kendrick Davis.
You're not
Davis.
Doing medium
that's
well.
That's Kendrick Davis.
You're not doing medium well at Fleming's.
What is ALO then?
You got to do like
Jason?
He was, unfortunately,
is he Applebee's?
He's Applebee's steak.
He was the Applebee's steak that I've been eating a long time and got through a lot of my life.
Yeah. I mean, it keeps you full, right?
Gonna get me
that
through
that Applebee's steak was 10 toes down.
Going to get me through that. And you get it at a great price.
Right.
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 Oh, that's the thing you love about
low
it. That's
price.
What sells you on.
Low price.
But now we're in that Fleming's.
Right.
And expensive price.
We're getting that good stuff with Kendrick.
Because here's the thing.
And
at
that's
some
how
point,
Penny feels.
At some point, Faith goes to Jason and she says, I'm tired of the Fleming's of the Applebee's steak, man. Yeah. We gotta graduate from this.
Again, this was more during dating time, John, before Faith. Again, right. I'm not taking Faith often to Applebee's. We've been fortunate and blessed by the Lord, thankfully. I haven't had to order a steak there in a while. This was during, John, you remember that? Single times, remember when you didn't
not
have
really.
Anything? You just got, it's amazing how you put all that out of your mind. You act like you've had money all your life.
I have to, man. You know, it's just a mindset.
No, if you act like you got money all your life, you don't stay hungry.
Oh, I'm hungry, dog.
You ain't the wolf no more. You ain't the wolf at the door knocking.
Well, I tell you what, man. I love what I hear from Penny. I love these quotes a lot. And look, I do believe, like, hyperbole aside, Kendrick Davis is going to be a great player for Memphis. You know, I mean, I think he's going to make an instant impact. I think they're going to win a lot of games early on, which I think is going to be the big difference.
They'll be bearing the other lead. Is that Penny said the goal is winning a national title. They ain't worry about no IARP postseason ban.
Well, it's one of those things you don't worry about until you have to, right? What's the sense of sitting around?
It's moving forward.
Because, again, I go back to it. No amount of anxiety is going to change what is happening in the future, and no amount of guilt can change what happened in the past. So you might as well just act like nothing's going to happen until it does. If you're Penny.
Just realistically, if you still do not have a date for the hearing,
right?
Could you get it to a point where it's so late that you can push it past, right? Whatever comes down, you can push it past this season.
Mm-hmm. Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
The longer it goes, it gets into July, and especially if it gets into August and you haven't had the hearing or the hearing is in August, you could tell yourself that whatever the IARP rules, they wouldn't apply it to this group. Because they've been operating under the assumption that they were going to have a season. You'd apply that penalty to next year, perhaps. The later this is, the better it feels like for Memphis.
Yeah, there hasn't been an update on the IARP website of the referred Memphis case since February 11th.
And the only update IARP period is that Louisville has its date, right? And that's mid-June. They've got one. You don't, meaning they're before you. So whether we're talking about July or August, at the earliest it feels like for this hearing, That's getting later and later and closer to next season. Perhaps Penny can get it kicked down again, And again, that's assuming something's coming down. You read all these pieces that say the NCAA is going to have to ease up on these things anywhere just because they're losing control and don't want to penalize kids that weren't a part of the original infraction.
For Memphis, Kendrick Davis in the fold. We assume DeAndre Williams back. Assume Lester Quinones back. We'll see what happens with Caleb Murphy and some other guys that they're interested in the portal. But just with that nucleus, right? I mean, we're talking NCAA tournament expectations yet again, for sure, right?
I think so.
I mean, I don't think you would say they're going to not make the NCAA tournament.
Just give me what we know so far.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament team, sure.
Got to be good enough. Got to be good enough with those three. Just those three.
Technically, arguably the best player in the conference last year is now on your team, right? And you're putting him with DeAndre Williams.
And they're older. And they're all incredibly old. you know, for college basketball.
Which is what Penny said he wanted to do and has done so far.
Right.
Has made this team older and more experienced. That's what he said he could win, you know, conference titles with. I mean, Houston is number two in some of these people's national rankings.
Yeah, I think
Parrish has got them second.
Yeah.
Last I looked.
And they're going to be really good.
So, in terms of
I'm not saying
sitting up here saying winning
the
AAC, I think you got to stop short of that with what Houston's bringing back and where people have got them next year. So, yeah, you're going to, you know, you should still be second, third in the AAC based on what you've got right now. And like you're hearing, and like I think we know about Penny, he's not done. He's not done.
Job not finished. But yes, Kedrick Davis is a mix between Bob Cousy, Derrick Rose, Anthony Hardaway himself, according to Penny Hardaway. But no, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch him. And, you know, like you said.
You're giddy again about the season. Once Penny got him, we got you back invested.
A caliber of guard the likes that this program has not seen. I mean, seriously. Like, I mean, his production in college better than Joe Jackson's. I mean, it just is what it is. Trying to think of anybody else. You know, guard-wise, I mean, Jeremiah Martin probably averaged something like that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He
had to. That senior year, he had, what, 240-point games, didn't he?
But that was more of a function of how bad the team around him was, wasn't
it? But your point is about average and what he averaged that year. It had to be relatively close to what Kendrick Davis averaged last year.
Yeah.
He had a monster senior season, did he not? 19 or 20, I would imagine, at least. Can't be much lower than 18.
Yeah, I can't find his college stats, but I'm assuming it was like that because he had to be that guy. If he wasn't that guy, they would have won 15 games, you know. He averaged 19.7. Mm-hmm. So practically identical. But, again, like, you know, he was taking shots because he had to, you know. Anyway, Kendrick Davis officially announced as a Tiger. So exciting times for Memphis basketball.
I got one more.
Next story.
Folks have been texting me this, talking about this young man for a while, and he deserves the respect, maybe even come Monday, depending upon how he did it. Heck, just for making it, get him a respect. But Gregory Odom Jr. is a Memphis product. He is now a rising senior on Howard University's golf team, and he's got even Forbes writing about him. He's a finance major. He's making his PGA Tour start, the debut PGA Tour start, at this week's Wells Fargo Championship at TPC Potomac. It's a great deal. He's doing it, I think, on a sponsor's exemption. A guy who has won his conference title, the MEAC, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference Golf Championship, won it last year. He's a riser. He came out of the first tee organization here in Memphis. We've talked about the great need for diversity in golf. He's a guy that hopefully in the future we're going to be talking about winning on the PGA Tour, not just being a part of it. But a lot of people have helped him along the way, and he has certainly sort of called them out as they have done so. But we're certainly proud of Greg Odom here, again, Memphis product. Now at Howard and competing in his first PGA event this week. Shout out to Greg Odom Jr.
Andy. Now again with the Rachel Heck picture, like we don't know because she posted a picture with Steph Curry golfing, right? But it the reason why I would think it's this week is because the face that Steph is making. Though I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be. But like,
I think somebody texted me or tweeted me that it's recent. It's this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you were right on that.
Yeah, which was interesting.
In terms of when it was taken, I still hadn't even seen the picture. But
yeah, it's just her in a jaw jersey with Steph, and he's like kind of making like the gas face a little bit. You know what I mean? He's nice about it. You know, but that's like the cool thing of that's why we go back to like the hard to hate, the Warriors type thing. Like, you know, how many guys in a playoff series right now against the Grizzlies would be like game to, you know, do that? Probably, you know, it's like you got to be a good humor dude.
Steph sweet face, man.
You got to be
a
good
sweet
humor guy.
Face of the league who's done a lot for the league. There's no question about it with the way he's carried himself on and off the court.
Yeah.
That says time for a new face.
Yeah. Well, it's coming.
It's time to brace a new face, a 22-year-old face.
Yeah, it's coming. All right, we will come back, and we're going to do a vibe check here in just a little bit, probably around 1 o'clock. We'll do a vibe check of the city. You know, last time we did this, we had a caller sort of speak into existence the performance of Zaire Kyrie Williams.
Zaire.
Zaire. whatever you want to say. So, I mean, we have to keep that trend going, you know, the good vibes in the city. So we'll do that a little bit later. And then Bobby Marks is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Morant goes to the right, picked up by Poole, who's got five fouls. Morant crosses over, hesitation move, little spin, float. It rattles home. What a move by Ja Morant, who's now got 41.
Saturday, Game 3, Grizzlies-Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs on 92.9 at 7:30.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's Grizzlies station.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jason had a real ambition for a new whip, and he knew exactly where he needed to go. He had one stop on his roadmap. That was Homer Skelton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Millington. And he was a man on a mission because he was done. He was in and out pretty quickly. I mean, I'm telling your story here. That's kind of what I'm good at here. And this is how history gets sort of, you know, rewritten, isn't it? How people tell other people's stories. Mm-hmm. What's a different discussion for a different day? Our man Shaq took care of Jason. They got cars on the lot, as Jason can attest to. He'll do the same for you. Go see our man Shaq.
Well, if it tells you nothing else, it should tell you this about John and myself, is we walk it like we talk it. We tell you that this is the dealership to get to. They're going to give you the best deal. It's the one. We do it ourselves. I did. Went out and saw him Saturday after CJ's basketball game. And yes, my man Shaq has got me now in the Grand Cherokee. Woo! 2020, baby. Big upgrade from the old Escape 2013. I'm riding around with some pride now, thanks to our man Shaq. He's changed my life. And oh, by the way, my man Brian Hughes, he was my salesman, took us out on the test drive, told us everything I needed to know about the car, said do this, this, this. It's what you want, a perfect experience. And it was quick, too. Even got me through their numbers guy, Doug, fast. Only took about 2 hours. Last time I bought a car, it took half a day. That's the kind of treatment you're going to get. It's family out there at Homer Skelton Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Get out and see them. 7661 U.S. Highway 51 North in Millington. It's where I ride. Go see for yourself how they're just a bunch of normal guys in the car business changing lives four tires at a time.
We have got to talk about this story because I saw this yesterday, and it is truly mind-blowing. It's one of the more mind-blowing stories you will see. But Phil Mickelson.
I saw.
According to a new book.
Old Dirty Phil.
had more than $40 million. Not in income, not in endorsement money, in gambling losses from 2010 to 2014. So let me just break out my White Station standard math here for just a moment.
Standard.
$10 million a year this man on average was losing every year from 2010 to 2014. Like, I don't care how much money you have, right? Like, I don't care how much money you make, how much money you have saved. Like, if I cross the $1 million mark, right? If I've lost $1 million in gambling, I might say, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore.
No, you wouldn't.
I've lost $1 million.
But you're making, what was he making, $40 million a year?
He was making $48 million a year. But of course, that gets heavily taxed, right? So he's going to lose half of that.
It's chump change to him.
He's going to lose half of that.
And it would have been to you, too, if you were dealing with that kind of money.
But, dude, at some point, man. Like,
I mean, all these guys, whether it's Jordan or Barkley or whatever, don't they get to a different level? So what they got to bet, right, to feel it, becomes something that you and I can't comprehend.
I mean, I feel.
And that's the case for Mickelson, it appears.
I hate losing, and it's rarely about the money. I just hate losing, right? Like, I just don't enjoy it. Like, we were doing that around the world deal at Shoot 360 with Jay Williams, and I lost, and I was not happy about it. It wasn't like, yeah, it's like, dude, you're playing an NBA, former NBA player, number two pick in the draft. You don't need to be upset. I'm like, I was disappointed in myself. I lost. I'm upset. I would be mad that I was losing so freaking much that I would find another avenue to if I just wanted to spend $10 million on something stupid, I'd find something else. You know what I mean? But Phil Mickelson did not stop. He's doing this from 2010
to
2014.
You brought up Jordan. Jordan's numbers have never gotten out as far as I
know. Correct. That is the difference, right?
Like, this
is
very
public. We saw some checks and stuff, but it was nothing like this.
I think Jordan's number is probably staggering. I doubt it's this for 1980s or 1990s.
Right.
But remember, the rumor that happened, and I'm not speculating, this was part of a couple of books that were written about Jordan, and it's in that 90s book that you and I are reading, John, about Jordan when his dad died and he decided to go play baseball. There was this rumor out there that there was gambling debt involved with his dad getting killed. You know, like, this has been something that's gone on with these sports stars for quite some time, and I just think that it's pretty wild that this is out there now.
Well,
didn't Daly say he lost millions in gambling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My speculation on this stuff is, like, when you are a competitor, right, and you're a professional athlete, like, you are more competitive than everybody else on the planet, basically. And if you, like, stop playing, you know, or you're not playing, maybe you're in the off season or whatever, you retire, you got to try to find something that –
that buzz.
That. Yeah, you gotta feel that, right? And I think, you know, betting on things, on sporting events, probably does in a way.
Some buzz there, and you're using your brain and you're making picks.
But damn, dog, like, that is just that's egregious.
Did he get involved with the insider? This is my question, because I don't know all the facts. With the insider training, the Saudi stuff, is he doing all that because of the debts?
Maybe. I mean, because they have basically, from the story, they have promised him $30 million up front.
Makes sense.
And he's got to, for eight events, you just got to come, show up for eight events. And then there's $20 million in prize money for these tournaments with an additional $5 million for team play. So there's a lot of money over there. I mean, morals aside, right? I mean, that's the other question. Sergio Garcia is going over there, right?
Yeah, he was on that live mic when he got penalized the other day.
How much does this change the likability of Phil and the legacy of Phil in terms of, right, he goes to these tournaments and the crowds love him, even here in Memphis?
He plays the part. I don't think it changes anything, honestly. It's my opinion.
It doesn't change how much you like him once he's in your town and playing your event.
I mean, he's got a major problem, and I'm going to pray for him on that part of it.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, with the insider trading and everything, I'm not talking about you have a gambling issue and so whoa. Mm. I'm just talking about what we've seen
of him
now.
Of him?
The stuff with the Saudis, what he's trying to do to play catch up here, doesn't change anything at all in terms of tarnishing the good guy that Phil's the sort of been made out to be all these years?
To some, I think it will. I think your average dude who goes out to Southwind to see him play, I don't think so.
So, is he no longer eligible to play in PGA Tour events?
I think they were giving him, it was a certain amount that they were penalizing him for.
Okay, gotcha.
But
on. Like, I'm unclear on whether or not he's ineligible now for PGA Tour events.
Let me do some research here real quick.
I do.
He's got the PGA Championship coming up. He's like the defending champion. Do we know if he's in that yet?
Like, let me ask you this. If you were 50 years old, Jason, and you weren't the golfer that you used to be, and you weren't really winning in the PGA events, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to tell me you wouldn't take that $30 million from the Saudis? Come on. I think we all would. But I hear you, though. I do think that for some people, it will certainly change their opinion of him. I feel that morally, ethically. You know,
this dude's been involved in an insider trading scheme, it appears, man. It's not just this thing with the Saudis.
He kind of worked around that one, though. That was I think he got through that. I mean, it hurt.
They were investigating him. Yeah. We're saying he's innocent. He went to court.
He beat the rap.
This is coming out because, you know,
of the investigation of that.
Mm-hmm.
How much he was in debt. Like, it doesn't look like much of his stuff's been above board. Like, it looks like there's been some shady dealings here.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, he was.
And I don't know if it's right that people overlook it. I just know that the good guy thing that's what people put in their minds for him, and I don't know why that is. Yeah. I think if he were an a-hole like Jordan was at times, you might hear more about it.
He was okay. So the government had no proof that Mickelson intended to violate the insider trading laws, but the SEC named him as a quote-unquote relief defendant in a civil case. Meaning that they believed he profited from insider trading in Dean Foods, even if he didn't engage in it himself. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what are the odds that you just pick Dean Foods, bro? Right? I mean,
what's your girl Martha did some time for it, didn't she?
Martha actually had
to do the time.
She got busted.
Martha bounced back, big dog.
Hey, so the Augusta National, if you guys recall.
Easier for white folks.
The Masters folks said it's exactly right, and I also think him being Caucasian has a lot to do with it. That's just real facts, brother. It's just true. They encouraged him strongly not to come to Augusta, and he was not disinvited. So to answer your question, he can play. It's just they said, yo, man, you may want to sit this one out and let this thing blow off a little bit. And that would have been distracting him playing.
Yeah, I see this says he has not said if he's going to be playing in the PGA Championship and defending his title from last year. He hasn't said it yet, which would...
Yeah.
He's allowed. He can come
play.
On back.
He can play.
He can.
Yeah.
He just hasn't said yet whether he will.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, this man bought $240,000 or 240,000 shares of Dean Foods.
My God. He had the tip off at all.
Yeah. Like, you know, who picks up the phone and says, hey, there's this upcoming, like, spinoff dairy company coming up, man. We got to go all in on this thing, man.
To Jason's point,
dairy is huge.
If Mickelson were black, he would.
If that were Tiger, it'd be, sir, you got to serve some time. You got to do it. You got to put him on there.
They would treat him differently than he's been treated. I think that's a fair statement.
Martha didn't benefit from being white now, did she? She went to prison.
That time, let's see that. Let's see that cell Martha was in.
What do you think she was in there nice doing? Some decor in there, man?
Just planning her new show with Snoop, fool, when she got out and what it was going to be and the million she'd make as soon as she got out of that thing. That was light. That was easy time
They should teach courses about Martha Stewart.
The least she did the time, though.
They
say, no, you're a first-time offender. You don't even have to do any time. Time served already.
Mickelson and her have something in common. They both smile through the pain. They both are able to not be D-heads about it and look around and just ignore it to try to help their public perception. I think they both have that in common.
I will say, man.
Martha has certainly bounced back.
Martha is a crowd favorite.
People love her.
She needs to be taught about in future college courses in terms of image. And because she went to prison in 2004,
She
did 5 months in federal prison, and by 2006, in an industry, right, where you would feel like your image is so fragile, you're talking about the interior decoration with, you know, white women, right, my God, I'll never buy from her again. Her company was profitable by 2006, and now she's probably back on top.
Is she?
She's on top
probably
again.
More so than she was in the first place.
There are some things you can't overcome. Like Matt Lauer will never be able to overcome because that's sexual. That's him and abuse of power. That one gets you almost every time. And he's not going to be able to overcome that one.
Martha Stewart has a 35,000 square foot mansion in Maine.
Now she's a bazillionaire. She's loaded up.
Known as Skylands. Has anybody bounced back from a prison stint like Martha Stewart? I mean, Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the same class, I suppose.
Mike Tyson and Martha Stewart, I feel like.
Now, it was downhill for Mike, though, after the prison stint. Like, you know, you come out and.
But he's kind of like, you know.
And he was not. He wasn't the same guy. That he didn't
return
to that dominance.
It took him many, many, many years. He seems to be doing fine.
But what
now.
I love is he's reinvented himself.
He's got his cannabis ear company.
Businessman and the cannabis guy. Yeah. Doesn't have to fight to make this
money. So you're willing to put your fist down for Martha Stewart as like.
Just in terms of bounce back from a prison sentence?
DMX kind of got over it. I mean,
he wasn't as
not
relevant.
Not as well as Martha did, though.
No,
certainly.
She's just the best at it.
I mean, Martha came back and was like, y'all cannot stop me, bro. Y'all can put me in federal prison for 5 months. I'll come back even better.
She came back strong.
Here's another one that hasn't been able to come back. What's the gal who had to go to prison because of her daughter's the scamming the colleges thing? That gal from Full House?
I can't remember
people
her name.
Hated
Here's
her.
Here's the thing about Martha. Oof. Like, the prison actually gave her some street cred in some weird way to where then you could put her on a show with Snoop.
It made her
and could actually pull it off. It made her cooler
amazing.
In some weird way.
It's true.
Right, her doing it the way she did it.
It's funny.
I'm telling you, she became more popular since and probably richer, too.
I think that's fair. Yeah, people didn't like the college ripoff one because that was abuse of power almost, you know, and it's public and it's colleges. Tiger did a hell of a job coming back, but he didn't go to prison, though.
No, he never hit a cell.
Who else has been in prison here? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I think Martha's the one, though, man.
She's the biggest. Martha, Nicole Richie, no, she's not a big enough celebrity.
Did she go to jail?
Yeah, apparently. Will Smith?
And we're talking, you know, we're talking about, like, prison.
What? Will couldn't have been in prison, right?
That in 1989, his rap career was taking off in a major way when he was involved in an alleged assault in West Philly.
Yeah, that's it. Kid stuff.
Yeah, we're not somebody that went to jail for a night because of DUI.
We're talking about one night. You went hard time. Hers was months.
You know, she did 5 months in federal prison.
Hers was months.
You know, I mean, that's a different deal.
Robert Downey, he had cocaine charges, got busted in 96.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.